This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Sonny Shipp. As we wrap up, Sonny, what was, I guess, kind of a, has it gotten normal now that this February signing day is just not like the Christmas day that it used to be? I mean, I know for me growing up, I love tuning into this stuff. I know for you covering it, this used to be like the busiest time of the year, and now it's just kind of become a little bit lackluster.
Yeah, you say lackluster, but I mean, you know, LSU fans were sitting around waiting on 2 5-stars.
True.
You know, one of them that, you know, they just, you know, they didn't have really much to worry about at all in Dominic McKinley. And then Terry Bussey got his situation with over by 9 a.m. And so It was like, okay, wow, you know, it seems like in past years, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, you know, you kind of sitting around keeping people lingering into the afternoon, but it's like, yo, man, everything's done. Kelly spoke. Time for you to go hit your happy hour somewhere.
I know, man. It's one of those things. Like, I know I've covered places where, like, people have these massive parties and, like, you know, these whole little shindigs and all this stuff that they like to do to celebrate. And for LSU fans, I mean, it was over. I mean, I got home and I was like, all right, there's nothing else to kind of check in on. Let's get to work on what we were able to get. But hey, I was able to get out to Acadiana and talk with Dominic McKinley, and that's the guy you mentioned. So we'll lead off with McKinley here. I mean, Sonny, we had just put up a piece, kind of a coach's corner, where his head coach, Matt McCullough, was able to kind of dive into what made him special and really what, you know, I don't know if a ton of people know this, Sonny, but, you know, entering his junior year, that summer between his sophomore and junior year, McKinley was near or to over 300 pounds, shed a ton of weight, and really showed his family, really showed that coaching staff over there that he really wanted to pursue, you know, college football at its highest level. And obviously 2 years later, he's the number one player in the state. I know there's some concerns maybe about, you know, maybe level of competition. There might be some concerns about motor, stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, you turn on the film and you see the potential he possesses. Obviously, we knew LSU had a need here. They're able to get that signature and once again continue to put up borders around the state.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at, you know, you if you want to point to the competition of what he went up against, you know, maybe every day in practice – one thing, but I mean, you know, Acadiana, you're a 5A school, you know, you're going up against the big boys, you know, every Friday night. So I think he's seen his share of the physicality and the physical side on the other side of the line. Obviously that's going to change once he gets to LSU in the SEC. And then every day he's going to be going up against somebody just like him, you know? And so, but looking at it from the, you know, looking at it from the other perspective, I think he's a guy that, you know, has kind of started to tap into the potential that he has. You know, the work at the motor, you know, whether or not it's on all the time or not, you know, that's something that we see it a lot at, with a lot of high school players. And that's something that he's going to have to quickly adapt to. And I'm sure he will, because once you get to LSU and once you look around, you know, you look around and you've got guys over there that are busting their butt, that are working their tail off. You got guys over here who are doing the same. And guess what? If you're not following their lead, if you're not doing what they're doing, then you're going to get left behind. You know, you're going to get left behind real quick, and you're going to find out, you know, this is no knock against UTSA, but look how quick Denver Harris found out, you know, going from Texas A&M to LSU, and now all of a sudden he's at UTSA a year later. And so, you know, you either learn and you adapt or you hit the transfer portal. And that's something that, you know, that's something that you know, we're even going to see more of going forward. I have a feeling, you know, you'll start to see more freshmen, more sophomores, you know, really getting into that portal for those reasons right there. Because now, used to be when freshmen would hit a college campus, it would be like, okay, can you get them there early? You know, can you get them there for the summer instead of just the fall? Well, then the summer became the norm. Now it's, can you get them there in the spring? Because that's kind of, you know, I don't want to say become the norm, but when you look at LSU, LSU had 14 or 15 early enrollees out of a 29-member class of high school and junior college prospects. That doesn't include the transfers. So I think that that's just going to, that you're going to continue to see things like that kind of matriculate and then progress, because now we're paying kids, you know, that 24/7 sports article that I believe that was that Hummer and Zenitz who did that?
I think it was a combo of those two guys.
I think it was a collection of all of them. And they polled 14 kids, you know, and how many of them had not even stepped foot on a college campus and were already talking about getting six-figure NIL deals that are already done?
And so
when kids, you know, now how much more of a push do they have when they hit that college campus? They're already making six figures, you know. Does it, you know, that fire, that burning fire and that burning desire to be that starter and to get up that depth chart, you know, you want to see that in all these players, but unfortunately we don't see it. And I think a big part of it in a lot of cases now when we see the freshmen kind of fizzle out early and test the transfer portal, it's because of the NIL inducements that they're getting.
Yeah, there's not necessarily, and this is not speaking in the case of Dominic McKinley, but just around college.
Right, exactly. Whole, exactly. Yeah, young guys in general.
Yeah, just young guys in general. I mean, I think you're seeing a sense of where, I mean, we could even go back 10, 15, 20 years ago, Sonny. You're seeing freshmen like there's a rite of passage. There's, you know, you earn your keep on this roster. You earn respect from the elder statesman in the room. I mean, how do you think if you're a senior that's busted your butt for 4 years, maybe you aren't the highest performing or the highest NIL paid guy, and you got a freshman coming in making six, maybe even, you know, six figures, and it's just he hadn't even stepped foot on campus. Like all these riffs and these type of things, I agree with you. I think it's really going to be hard, even harder, to see guys stick with the same program for maybe even a year at this point.
I mean,
you're talking about
a guy
that is crazy as a young guy. I mean, and you
18,
mentioned too,
19
like,
years old, you got crazy. Over, you know, you're getting 12, you know, $10,000 a month deposited into your account, you know, and then, that alone is hard for a young person to shoulder, to handle responsibly.
Yeah.
And then you toss on all the requirements that come with, you know, that with getting that money, you know, as far as the school, the athletic obligations and everything that it takes for you to sustain that. And you just see that a lot of young, I think we're going to see more and more cases of younger guys that kind of slip through the cracks for some of those reasons.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
And you mentioned too, I mean, all jokes aside, I don't know what you were doing when you were 18, 19, 20. That wasn't too long ago for me, Sonny. There's no way I could have handled just being a college football player, much less having 10 grand, you know, 10 bands, as one player said it, put into my bank account each and every single month. Sonny, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be on a podcast with you right now. That's for sure.
We were trying to come up. We were trying to scrounge up enough money to be able to go to drinking on Lincoln, you know, for that $5 bill, you know, all you can drink from 8 to 12. And it's like, yo, man, you know, you got a line around the door at 7:45. Want to get all that time in now, you know, it ain't that.
They're hosting the party. They're renting out the bar. I mean, that's what they're exactly doing. I was telling someone the other day, we were talking about this, man. When I was in college, we had a little Mexican restaurant that I lived for Wednesday night, dollar beer, dollar taco night. And now, I mean, you got guys that could just say, hey, I'm buying out the restaurant for the night. It's all on me. Crazy, crazy atmosphere. But, yeah, McKinley, I mean, look, there's a lot to be excited about of what he can bring to the table. Development's going to take place. His dad spoke to the fact that you can catch that video if you haven't already on YouTube and on our site as well, you know, that Bo Davis made an impact. You know, how much, just real quickly before we move on, do you think the timing of Bo Davis being announced, which was a little bit after, I guess, but McKinley starting to get the feeling that there's some changes were kind of on the way. And maybe the real reason he didn't commit to LSU in the first place was because of the lack of maybe a visible leader in that defensive line room.
Well, I think the lack of a visible leader, like you described it, I think that played a big part. And that's why LSU had so much catching up to do and why he stayed committed to Texas A&M. You know, as long as he did. I think Bo Davis played an integral part in this, a crucial part. And, yeah, you know, I think that's why if you go back and if you look at during that early signing period when Bo Davis was still at Texas, I think that's why there were some rumblings of, is McKinley going to sign early with Texas? Could he pull a surprise and not be on the market for LSU come January? Mm-hmm. And so I think Davis played a huge part, and I'm sure his family addressed that, like you said, when you spoke with them yesterday. And I think Davis is just going to play a bigger part going forward, you know, and kind of expanding on McKinley a little bit more. You know, like you said, the development's going to come there, and I think the development's going to need to come quickly too. Yeah. It's going to need to come quickly because Brian Kelly kind of talked about it a little bit on Wednesday when he talked about this class. He said, you know, we know that defensive line, that's an area that, you know, we've got to still figure some things out. We've got the back half of, we've got the spring transfer portal window. Talked about the possibility of moving some guys around. You know, like we've alluded to before, Savion Jones, to me, that just seems like a natural fit right there. Spot him inside. You got plenty of options at on the edge that you can turn to. And so, you know, there's going to be a need for Dominic McKinley to come in and to not necessarily, you know, be a difference maker or an impact player as a true freshman. But I think you're going to need him to come in and you're going to need to get kind of like you did out of Mason Smith when Mason Smith was a true freshman. You know, he played in I forget how many games it was, but you know,
five or six games,
you know. And so once you start hitting, you know, I think once you start hitting the middle of October to November and then obviously December now with the expanded playoff and everything, you're going to need McKinley to kind of, you know, go from being that freshman to being that, okay, well, he's not necessarily a true freshman anymore. And then once you start getting those injuries racking up and you start getting some, you know, some guys who are, you know, who are just banged up, who aren't performing like they did maybe at the beginning of the season when they were fully healthy, that's when you're going to need McKinley to kind of come up and say, okay, you know, he now he's ready to give you some snaps. You know, he's ready to give you some reps. He's ready to kind of help plug some of those gaps that are there from the injuries and from not having a lot of depth, frankly.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, it's one of those things you want to sit in October, November and say, hey, if I'm Bo Davis or I'm, you know, this defensive coaching staff in general, when I'm sitting in that film room, in that meeting room, I can comfortably put him into our rotation and not feel necessarily super uneasy about it. That's where you want. And it's going to be very interesting to kind of see how that rolls. Sonny, there was a, there's an old sitcom or not sitcom, an old show that my grandfather got me on, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Clint Eastwood, fantastic Western. And so that's the good. We go back now to maybe the bad. We had to lead off with the good so people would watch and listen. And now we go to the bad. Terry Bussey chooses Texas A&M over LSU. Georgia was in this race too. You and I both kind of were reading through the tea leaves. It kind of felt like Georgia made an impact because of the brand they are. But this really felt like an Aggie Tiger race. Your thoughts, though, as 9 a.m. came across and Terry Bussey unveiled that he was going to A&M and just what type of effect that has for LSU going forward?
Well, you know, in trying to track it, trying to figure out where he was going to go, and, you know, by 9 a.m., I felt the same way that I did. I think it was about 9 o'clock the night before when I posted, you know, I don't know what the hell this kid's going to do tomorrow morning. And just, you know, that's it. And there's no reason to write 1,000 words on it. That's, you know, and that's how I felt at 9 o'clock that morning too, you know?
Yeah.
And I always just kept, but I always kept going back to the fact that, you know, he never decommitted from Texas A&M. He never decommitted from Texas A&M. And to me, that was kind of where it seems that, you know, it seems that in his heart, he picked Texas A&M in September when he committed to him. It seemed like in his heart, he never felt the need to decommit when, I mean, let's face it, with everything that went on in College Station, with all the changes, with all the negative press, with all the turmoil, you would, you know, you would think that that would make, you know, not 97 out of 100 kids, you know, say, whoa, okay, I'm just going to need to, you know, process this a little more.
At least but, open it back up.
Yeah. Right, exactly. The fact that he never did that and he stayed with them all of that time, you know, I think that's why even, you know, the LSU side had optimism. They you know, they you know, some thought that they were going to get him in the end. But I think at the end of the day, you can look at it and you can say, okay, you know, the kid truly followed his heart. You know, if you're an LSU fan, don't be disappointed about that. His heart might be in College Station right now, but guess what? It only takes one losing season or you know, a bad spring, a argument with your position coach. I mean, there's so many things that affect college rosters in these days to where, you know, LSU, as close as they finished to Texas A&M, if he has any doubt about whether Texas A&M is where he should have been, you know, going forward, and he thinks about the transfer portal, man, you got to think that LSU is going to be right there near the top of his list if it comes to that. So, you know, I guess to use a Brick Haley reference, you know, like you've seen a lot of them on the board here lately, you know, yes, LSU finished second, but there could be a silver lining down the road, you know.
Well, and look, too, I mean, even that statement has changed so much over the years. You know, I mean, you know, finishing second, man, you might be in a better position than you were than finishing first. That might sound absolutely crazy, but it seems like you want to be that second school because the odds are pretty high. I mean, I don't know if Vegas put odds on this, but the odds are pretty high that a kid's going to transfer. Like, it's so rare to see a kid finishing second's not that bad.
Used to be, you know, one of the things growing up and stuff, you know, like you know, you would hear or whatever, like, finishing second, guess what that is? That's the first loser.
First loser.
Yeah. Well, you know, you now in the, you know, first of all, you know, if you're coaching youth or anything and you said that, I mean, you would be persecuted and prosecuted and everything else in society we live in today. But now, you know, there really is something to it. Like you said, you know, you finish second, you're first in line if he enters the portal, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know,
and especially with how close,
but, you know, you get the gist.
And especially with how close these races get. I mean, when you get down to the top two and it really feels like, I mean, Bussey was seriously considering LSU, man, you don't know what factors that, like you said, maybe something goes wrong in College Station, and that was the thing that he felt might have been right for him. And now that's flipped when LSU, you know, seems like greener pastures. We'll have to see. Obviously, though, Sonny, I mean, this would have been a massive pickup. I wanted to get your thoughts on this because we had heard some different types of things, but just your thoughts in general. If he would have made it to Baton Rouge, or, you know, he's going to College Station, was this going to be strictly a cornerback situation, or was he going to also play some offense? How do you think that would have been managed? And did that have anything to kind of go in with maybe LSU's pitch going forward?
It had a little, yeah. I mean, there, you know, it was part of it, you know, the opportunity to play some, you know, to play some offense too. But I think, you know, I think that as far as the expected biggest impact, which side of the ball, I think you would have to look at defense just because of LSU's need right there at cornerback. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that he comes to, you know, that he gets to campus this summer and he's a starter against USC in week one. But I think he's a guy that if the talent that he showed on the football field, if the talent that he showed playing basketball and the work ethic that all of his coaches and everyone around him says he has, you have to figure that getting him that, you know, if you would have got him here in the summer, you have him for fall camp, that given the LSU situation at cornerback right now to where it seems like, you know, you can't really peg. When you look at it and you say, okay, it looks like Ashton Stamps and Sage Ryan are your two starting corners. If you go back and just look at the bowl game, you know, and look at what you have, knowing Ashton Stamps is coming off surgery and stuff for the spring. If you just look at it from that perspective, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, this kid's going to have a serious chance to get in here and maybe compete for that nickel position.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
and obviously having a five-star by your name, you know, kind of helps you jump to those, you know, jump to those considerations and those possibilities. But, you know, just given LSU situation as a whole at cornerback, you know, who are the starters? You know, the projected starters going in? Yeah. I don't think Sage Ryan's best position is boundary corner, but that's where he ended the season at. I think Toviano is probably a better safety prospect, but he had to play corner over there. Ashton Stamps, Hughes, you know, you've got a bunch of young guys coming in, but Juwan Johnson's not on campus. Wallace Foster's not on campus. Bernard Causey's not on campus. Only P.J. Woodland is on campus this spring. And so, you know, you've really got a situation to where – and now I think you see LSU address that position a little more sternly in the spring transfer portal.
Yeah.
Because the last thing, you know, if you're LSU and you're pitching to Terry Bussey, look, we need cornerback help. We need somebody who can come in. You're probably a little bit hesitant about going and jumping on that transfer who still has 2 years of eligibility remaining and bringing him into the fold and into that room. You know, you're probably just thinking about that, like, man, is this going to really hurt us with Bussey or not? Now, when you attack that spring transfer portal window, you know you need a defensive lineman. If you can get an impact defensive lineman, I mean, you're going to be very attractive to somebody. And then the same thing now, I think when you look at cornerback, you know, that LSU will probably go at it a little more aggressively, knowing that, you know, they can't potentially run off a 3 or 4 year player like Brian Kelly wants to build this program around.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's going to be very interesting to watch how that portal window and look, the war room's already busy. They're already game planning for what they could go and attack and what they could look at. Sonny, as we kind of, you know, wrap up this podcast, we also wrap up this 2024 class. And over the past year, you and I have talked a lot about this, you know, guys we liked, guys that we thought were really interesting. But when you look back on it as a whole, I know some pundits, you know, outside the 24/7 sports world really listed LSU as some winners, you know, when it comes down to locking down the state. You and I have hit that really hard. But when you just look at this class, maybe try to put the objective glasses on, how do you feel like LSU finished out with this? I mean, obviously you would have loved to have Terry Bussey. McKinley was a big get. But just when you look through what they're able to bring in, even the guys that are already enrolled, this really, to me, feels like a good step in the right direction of where Kelly wants to take this program. And to me, follows with what he said in his introductory press conference about having a priority within this state and also, you know, mixing in a little flavor from around the country that can make an impact and wants to come down to Baton Rouge.
Well, you know, you can to start off with, if you look at the team rankings, if you look at the 24/7 Sports team rankings, you'll see LSU finish fifth in the fifth on 24/7 Sports, seventh in the composite, which combines the other three recruiting services out there. So, top five class, Brian Kelly's first as a head, or no, I'm sorry, not first as a head coach, but first since 2013. Wow. I think that was the last time that he had one. And he has never had LSU, if you take their sixth-ranked class last in for 2023, fifth-ranked for 2024, he has never had two back-to-back classes like that.
Wow.
And so when you talk about wanting to build a program on 3 or 4 year players and you come into a program that is depleted with 38 scholarship players, and in 2 years you're able to stack those two classes – I think you're taking major, major strides to being able to build your program like that, to not have to go out and rely on 13 or 14 transfer portal ads. And so he's well on his way to getting there, and he stacked those two classes. I think he's going to stack another one with his 2025 class. It's already ranked number two in the country. And then you look at how loaded 2026 is in state. Now, he's really got some opportunities to really – you know, start building those classes one on top of one another. And look, that's what the Georgias, that's what the Alabamas have did when they went on their, were on their run. And so that's a big part of the equation, because now he feels like he's got the coaches. Now you're stacking the Johnnies and the Joes on top of one another, and you're building that roster to get it where you need to get it to. And so I think the 2024 class really took a big step to kind of helping him do that. You know, you look at the, you look at the areas that they really needed to hit. You know, obviously cornerback, you know, you got four of them that you're bringing in. You still did good. You still did, you know, you still have a really good haul of guys there. Even when you take Bussey out of consideration, I think the defensive line haul is a little bit underrated, and that's because I think Gabe Relaford is just going to be a beast. And I think we have him underrated, and I think that that's going to show pretty early on too. And then, you know, Deshaun McBride, he's a guy that, you know, we talk about LSU at safety, at LSU at cornerback. But look, you know, you've got some room at safety too, to where you can, you know, some young guys are going to have some opportunities. Ryan Yates is going to have an opportunity. Jordan Allen's going to have an opportunity. Obviously, you got Major Burns coming back. Deshaun McBride being on campus right now, that's going to give him that opportunity to be able to show why he was the number two safety in the country. You know, Tre'Davious Green, you got the number two tight end in the country. And so when you go down the list and you start looking at some of those guys, you know, I think that LSU did a good job of getting those, you know, those guys that are ranked near the best in the country at their respective positions, like McKinley, like McBride, Weston Davis, you know, guys like that. But then they also did a good job of getting those four-star guys, those lower, you know, those lower-ranked four-star guys. You know, some of those guys that you look at and you say, yeah, those are some program guys. Those are some guys that you can envision getting in here, you know, sticking around and really being able to help you from a depth perspective. And so I think overall, I think sometimes rankings can be a little misleading, but I think that number five ranking on this class, I think it's warranted and I think it's legit. And really love the offensive line haul that Brad Davis got. You know,
that's what I was just about to mention.
That was big. You know, that was big. You know, you take one running back and it's the number six running back in the country in Caden Durham. You know, and so, you know, you always want more five stars. You always want this. You always want that. We always want what we don't get or what we can't have. But I think when you look at, you know, when you look at number six last year, number five this year, you're already number two next year. Man, those fools who said Brian Kelly wouldn't recruit at LSU, I mean, they just got to feel stupid right now. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the fans. I'm not talking about
the fans.
Fans aren't paid. Fans aren't paid to be educated. You know?
There you go.
But,
that's true.
But when you're getting paid to do a job and you're as uneducated like that, well, you know, you got a problem.
Well, and I even just put this on the board. I mean, I think in talking with, you know, some coaches around the area, talking with some people who've had guys that are on LSU's campus or committed to LSU, they say, like, the jokes, they're laughable at this point. Like, the jokes of him dancing with the recruits and all that kind of, okay, that's funny, and it's corny. And you know what? He might be, have the dad jokes and whatever type of humor. That's fine. But man, when push comes to shove, the proof's in the pudding, Sonny. I mean, they are recruiting at a very, very good level. And I think a really, really kind of good, you know, ending point for this and for fans to kind of take on themselves and use their imagination is, and I'll even ask you here, I mean, you kind of set it up. I think LSU is very primed to be that next SEC team that sets up a run of consecutive dominant years. With the way they're recruiting, you can see some similarities between what Alabama was able to do, Georgia was able to do in the early years of Kirby Smart. Brian Kelly's starting to trend that way. Now, look, you have to sign these guys. These guys got to get on the dotted line in 2025, the DeCorian Moores, the Bryce Underwoods. I understand all that. But then when you look at that in-state talent 2026, that I don't want to get too ahead of myself. You feel kind of, you know, you're going to have the first right, essentially, to be able to get these guys to commit to your school. I don't know. It's not far-fetched to really think that when you look at 2025 and beyond as we wrap it up here, LSU fans have a lot to be excited about, I think, and I kind of agree with your sentiment of they could be that next team that makes a nice run.
Yeah, you know, I think you see that, you know, if you go through the position groups and you see where they're really, you know, recruiting, kind of stockpiling talent, it all starts on the trenches, both sides of the trenches. Yeah. Brad Davis is certainly doing it. Now, I think you're going to see Bo Davis do it. And if Bo Davis can do it over this 2025 and 2026 class, mm-hmm. if he can get that defensive room looking like that offensive line room right there, then I think the Alabama and the Georgia comparisons and the analogy that you make, then I think you really start to get there to where you say, you know, that's not very far-fetched at all because the lines are settled. You know, you've got those big boys on the line. You know, you've got more than one Dominic McKinley, more than one Gabe Relaford, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And two, look, I mean, there's not ever going to be a shortage of skill position players. And I'll leave it at this. I think, too, it's even more important to have a guy like Brad Davis and Bo Davis on both sides of the line because it is really hard to get high-level, high-performing linemen, guys in the trenches, out of the transfer portal because they're not a dime a dozen. But if you can get them out of the high school ranks and develop them and recruit them each and every single year back to your roster, that's how I think that you could build your roster for sustainability, not necessarily having to go into the portal every single year and say, hey, I need two offensive linemen and maybe one more that can be a swing guy, and then we're going to need at least two, maybe three defensive linemen. That's not a spot you want to be, I think, especially if you're LSU and you're in the SEC.
That's a lot of money, too.
Ooh, brother, a lot of money. That'll cover a couple of
big boys cost money.
Taco nights. But hey, LSU recruiting is doing well, and we encourage you to hang out over on the site. Go 24/7. Great conversation, great boards, and man, join myself, Sonny, and Glenn West as well as we kind of roll throughout the spring. Get ready for spring football, baseball season 2 weeks away. Going to be a ton of fun, a lot softball of excitement around week. That program. Yeah, man, I think the wife, for those that don't know, wife's pregnant. She's finally feeling better, and I think we're heading out tonight. We're going to go to opening match tonight. Yeah, man. I'm a big fan, big softball fan. So, and it'll also let me shoot some messages back to my, I'll say this, some of the Alabama fans in my family who are diehard Alabama softball fans. They can't stand LSU, anything purple and gold. So it's funny to shoot those messages back to them. But, hey, we'll catch you next time here on the Go 24/7. Podcast.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.